Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
You're tuned into SEC Sunday Night, part of the Chief Sports Network.
Welcome to SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network, here with you every Sunday night at 8 p.m. and proudly presented by Hewitt Domodiros Law, HDLawSC.com. I want to give our guys Brad and Dean a shout out tonight, as last week they were named as one of the top law firms in the country. And so they are now over $50 million in money won back for clients. And so we want to make sure that you give them a call, or just visit the website, tell them you heard about them on SEC Sunday Night. Again, that is hdlawsc.com. And remember, whether you have a personal injury or you need them for something else, that you're not just a number in a stack and you're not getting pushed off to somebody else. You will talk to Brad or Dean if you go into Hewitt Domodiros Law, right in the heart of Columbia, South Carolina. We are here this week, starting off from the jump with our friend Mike Morgan. I'm Rob Williams, and you know Craig McMichael. We're here, as always, to recap the week that was and look forward to the week that is coming. Mike, we'll start with you, because this past week was, except for the Kiffin Palooza, which you and JC had a great time with, and I enjoyed cutting up video and getting it ready for social all week. But other than that, the games on the field, which, as you astutely noted, have not gotten as much talk as the coaching carousel in the past couple of weeks. The games on the field in the SEC were a little lackluster this week. It's that week of the year. And even the matchups that were supposed to be something have kind of tamped down a little bit this week. But we look forward to rivalry weekend, where there's a lot on the line. How are you taking it in? How are you doing? Are we looking forward to the final week of the season? I can't believe it's here.
I can't either.
I'm hearing an echo. Is that me or is that you guys?
I'm not hearing it.
It's gone now. You know, this time of year for me is always it's kind of the Texas two-step, because I'm juggling football and basketball. It's November is the month of intersection, and so I've already done three basketball games. So this past week, you mentioned the Lane Kiffin Bowl last week that we had on Elite Media Network. So I was in Oxford to call that on national radio, and then went straight from there to Knoxville to call a basketball game, from Knoxville to Auburn to do another basketball game. And then I just got back from Happy Valley. First ever Penn State football game that I've ever called was this past Saturday. So I'm thawing out from the rather chilly temperatures over there, because I'm soft, and getting ready to go to Austin to call Texas A&M, which it will be a welcome addition, because, as you mentioned, this past weekend left a lot to be desired on the SEC slate. It's something that we talk about all the time, that second to the last week of the year, there's nothing you can do about it. As long as you leave it into the hands of the coaches that have a big rivalry game on the final Saturday of November, they're not going to overschedule. I think the SEC's done a great job trying to sneak in some good games. And, you know, Missouri, Oklahoma was a good game for about a half. And Florida, Tennessee, you know, that's ordinarily like a week three showdown. That's like kind of like Georgia, South Carolina used to always be an early great conference game. But because they're trying to get eyeballs on that second to the last Saturday, they threw Florida, Tennessee out there. The problem was Florida didn't show up. You know, they got all fired up to play in the Kiffin Bowl. That was personal. But then at home, they showed no pride and looked like a team that just can't wait for the season to be over with. So this coming weekend is great because everybody's up for everybody in this one, right? I mean, even Florida and Florida State, two teams having miserable years, they'll be up for one another. I think Carolina-Clemson, I've covered that game enough over the years to know that no matter what the records are, and I'm avoiding that cliche, but I will say this, that the teams are always up for that game. That doesn't change. And then Auburn-Alabama can be a little bit juicy. There's nothing Auburn would rather do than to ruin Alabama's playoff hopes, and I think a loss would do it. And then the game I have, Texas A&M, has a lot riding on it for a number of different reasons. So to your point, Rob, I think we get back to a really juicy slate of games this Saturday, and that's just in league play. It's an SEC show. I could mention Ohio State, Michigan. I could mention a lot of other big games, but we'll keep it in conference, and it's always a week I look forward to.
Mike, a quick question. As SEC goes to 9 games next year, do you see that this week, that week 13, will still kind of be that one where it's up in the air and they may push that 9th conference game maybe earlier in the season to kind of preserve this idea of before I hit my big rival, I want to be ready for it and be prepared?
It's a great question, Craig. I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't think they know how they're going to do it. It's kind of like we've just been – pushing that back, kicking the can down the road for so many years, and now we know it's happening, and there's still programs adjusting. I mean, you've seen all the games that SEC coaches, programs have dumped non-con quality opponents because, like, well, wait a minute, we wouldn't have scheduled them if we knew we were going to have 9 conference games. Well, now you have them, and I don't think the rivalries that we just talked about, Carolina, Clemson, Florida, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Louisville, Kentucky, I don't think they're going to move those games. I think that's a non-negotiable. I don't think they're going to – that's always going to be the last game of the year. And quite frankly, I think it should be. So how do you adjust? Are you willing to play a conference game right before that? That's going to be the decision that these coaches are going to have to come up with. And if you don't, if you kind of keep it as a cupcake – well, now you've got a really big gauntlet on the front end and in the middle. So yep. Either way, like, you can't hide from what's around the corner. It's going to get you eventually. I wouldn't mind us just look. I've been a proponent of 9 for such a long time because these games, and look, I've broadcasted my fair share of them on TV. I've been the guy that's looking for the storylines when George is up 42 over Charlotte. They've past their time. You know, fans are spending a lot of money to attend these games. And nowadays, with an expanded playoff, which I think eventually will be 16, you don't have to be undefeated or have one loss to get in the playoff. Heck, Texas, if they beat A&M, they'd have a win over Texas, A&M, and Oklahoma. That'd be 2 top 8 wins. They could sneak in with 3 losses. But certainly there'll be several 2-loss teams that get in the playoff. So I don't think we have to keep doing this racket where people look at the schedule, the second to the last Saturday every year, and like, oh, geez, it's going to be a struggle to find a good game today.
Yep.
So you mentioned Texas A&M, Mike. I know that you're going to be there with the Elite Media Network on Friday night in DKR calling this game. This is one of the bigger ones that we're looking at. Craig and I do something here every year where in April during spring practice, we predict every game that every SEC team is going to play through the course of the year, and then we go back and keep our percentages. I will note that I picked A&M to upset Texas in this game. Now it's not so much of an upset, right? The tables have turned. What are you looking for, and what do you expect as you dig into rivalry week and get ready for Texas A&M?
Well, as you pointed out, it wouldn't be much of an upset because the point spread is back down to it's 2, I think, with the glance that I looked at it. So I think a lot of people look at that and they say, kind of surprised. I mean, A&M's undefeated. Texas has been hot and cold. Maybe I'm a little bit biased in that I was there. I called Texas, Oklahoma. And while it was Mateer's first game back, it wasn't just him that they neutralized. Oklahoma didn't run the ball well. Oklahoma didn't stop Texas and Arch Manning well at all. At that time, it was the best game that Arch had in his career. So if Texas can play well with a program and a team like Oklahoma this year, at home, could they not beat Texas A&M? I think they can. I think it's going to be a fourth quarter game. So I'm really excited about it. I think Texas is not as talented as they were a year ago. And the hype on Arch Manning was a little bit unfair, quite frankly. I mean, he's still a first-year starter in the SEC, and that shows up at times. There are times where he looks a little bit lost. He's not as sharp as he needs to be. He doesn't feel the pressure as he needs to be. But I could say the same thing about some guys that start 2-3 years in the SEC, right? So Arch is going to be fine. And this could be a coronation game looking forward to next year for him because he says he's coming back. If he balls out against A&M and leads them to victory, then who knows? I can't help but think, you know, looking at Marcel Reed, who's been so good this year, this is what we've been talking about on JC and Morgan, and I've brought it up on ITG. I've never seen a year, and I've covered this league for a long time, where all the top quarterbacks, with very few exceptions, Marcel Reed wasn't the top. Remember now, people talked about Lenore Sellers, Arch Manning, Garrett Nussmeier, and
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
DJ Lagway in a whole different way. Then they talked about Marcel Reed, even Diego Pavia, who's been outstanding. But people are like, yeah, it's a cute story, but it's Diego Pavia. It's Vanderbilt. They'll come back crashing down to earth. And I think a lot of people looked at Reed like, yeah, great athlete, but it's A&M, and people will figure him out, and he's going to take a step back. I've never seen a year where the top four quarterbacks preseason have all been disappointing. I mean, could anybody argue that, again, I think Arch is starting to hit the rise at the right time, mm-hmm. but because the hype was so unreal, it's been short of the bar, okay? Lenore Sellers, very disappointing compared to a guy that was predicted first-team All-SEC and Heisman Trophy candidate. Garrett Nussmeier, everybody's NFL draft darling, and I would throw my hat in the ring, too. I thought Garrett Nussmeier, after throwing for 4,000 yards last year, no one's going to do that this year in the SEC, by the way, that Garrett Nussmeier was going to just even be better and be a top 10 pick. Well, he hasn't been good, and DJ Lagway's been flat out awful. And a lot of people had him first team All-SEC. Meanwhile, you've got Joey Aguilar leading the conference in passing yards. You've got Diego Pavia trying to make a case for the Heisman Trophy. We've talked about Marcel Reed. I mean, it's been a really unpredictable year. So if you like chaos, 2025 is for you because we've had it this year in the SEC. Now, it might still be the same old story in the SEC championship game. You've got Georgia, Alabama, and obviously A&M would be the new blood. But it's not like we have some major shocker there. The shocker could be if Vanderbilt somehow gets in the playoff. That would be an incredible story. And the shocker has been some of these quarterbacks I just mentioned that was like, we weren't even thinking about them. And they've been the best so far in the SEC. So it's been a bizarro world SEC quarterback type of season, the likes of which I haven't seen in a long time.
If I can, if I hang on, I got to defend my boy Arch for a minute.
I know what you're going to do.
If you compare Arch's stats to one Julian Sayin from the Ohio State University, Arch's stats are actually better. And I know Sayin's getting more love because he's undefeated.
Right.
But I have to defend my boy Arch, as Rob knows. I think my bigger question going into this game, I think we know that both offenses are going to score. My biggest question is Texas A&M's defense. You know, we were talking last week, and it's been a very much a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde this year. We've seen A&M's defense be very good. We saw them in that second half against South Carolina. We saw what they did to Auburn earlier in the year. At times, again, first half against South Carolina, even that game against Notre Dame, we've seen that A&M defense get torched. And I think, which one, I'm sorry?
Don't forget about Arkansas. They put up 42 or 45 or something like that.
Good old Bobby P. So sad. Yep. So sad that's not working out for him. But, like, I think, Mike, I think that's going to be the interesting part, where I think both offenses are going to get theirs, but I think it's going to be who's going to be able to get that stop, because – like I said, I just don't trust Texas A&M's defense. I love Texas A&M's running game. I love the quarterback, but the defense is just, I'm not sure on.
Yeah, I mean, they get a lot of sacks, and like Cassius Howell, I mean, he's going to pin his ears back, and he'll wreck the backfield at times. But you're right. I mean, it's not a dominating defense. There haven't been a ton of those this year in the SEC. Georgia's Georgia. And by the way, when I mentioned the quarterback conversation, I got to throw Gunnar Stockton in there too, because I think a lot of people are like, Gunnar Stockton, I don't know. That kid's been balling as well. Who wouldn't want to go to battle with him? So a lot of intangibles about quarterback play that don't show up in a combine setting when you're measuring a guy and seeing what he runs in the 40 and all that nonsense. Gunnar Stockton, Diego Pavia, those are just two flat-out dogs, and they're not the most physically gifted, but, man, do they make plays. I'm not down on Arch at all. I think the bar on Arch was just impossible to meet. So he hasn't had a bad season, not at all. And in fact, if you look at it statistically, these two quarterbacks, Reed and Manning, are top five in passing yards. I think some people have watched Texas this year and they've seen the offense just sputter and they immediately go, oh, it's Arch's fault. But what they don't realize is they lost two incredible offensive linemen, high draft picks in the NFL, one of them in the top 10. They lost Worthy, their best just game-breaking receiver. They lost more than one receiver, actually. You know, they lost a lot of talent from last year, and so people they thought that Texas was going to still light up scoreboards, and they haven't. But that's not all on Arch. That's just where they are this year. They're built differently. And again, people look at the Georgia game and they're just kind of left unimpressed. But Georgia does that to a lot of people. Other than Alabama, Georgia's defense just suffocates team after team after team. So, like I said, I mean, I think this could be a game that Arch absolutely puts together one of those moments. We talk about Heisman moments, and I'm a Heisman voter, and it's going to be a really tough vote, and I'd like to see some Heisman. We know Mendoza had his, but I'd like to see some other guys have theirs to really put some extra ingredients in the gumbo, so to speak. But Arch Manning could have moments in this game propelling Texas that people are like, oh, yeah, now he figured it out. He solved the riddle, and he's going to be everybody's preseason All-American next year with justifiable stats and production to back it up, not just the big last name and a lot of stars next to his name out of high school.
You mentioned the Heisman. I write a Heisman column every week and highlight that Heisman moment. And last week we had Marcel Reed kind of in that slot after the second half against South Carolina. Another opportunity, you mentioned Arch, but an opportunity for Reed to maybe catapult himself in that conversation against Texas on Friday night. Mike, thanks for being here with us. It's 8:18 on SEC Sunday Night. Mike Morgan here of the SEC Network and Elite Media Network. Mike will be calling Texas A&M, the Lone Star Showdown, on Friday night. So, Mike, I hope you enjoy that trip to DKR, and maybe, I don't know what basketball games you have, but maybe a day off on Saturday to watch a little ball since you're not
you got a
Friday night game.
A day off on Saturday, and then I'm back on the road. I think I'm in Alabama for my next basketball game. But yeah, I will get a chance to watch just like everybody else. And I know you guys will be watching all the great games on Saturday. Can't wait for that. And first time I've called a game at DKR in a while. I think it was Texas Baylor like 15 years ago on national radio. And I love Austin. Austin is an awesome, awesome town. And I've never experienced this rivalry, which thankfully we've got it back. I'm just so happy that that these two teams now will play each other every year. You know, the schedules are done. We know the permanent opponents. We know how everything lies out. And it actually made a lot of sense. I was like, okay, are they going to screw this thing up? They did not. They nailed it. So, yeah, very much looking forward to that. Brian Baldinger will be with me. Brian is one of the best in the business. If you ever follow him on Twitter and whatnot, he's a guy we used to work together calling games at Fox. Does a lot of NFL stuff too. And I know he's chomping at the bit to kind of break down these players because he's always got an eye on these college guys and how they're going to forecast into the pros as well. So it's always interesting to get his insight on stuff.
We look forward to hearing it and listening to you guys on the Elite Media Network on Friday night, a loaded slate on Friday. And thanks, Mike, for being here. We'll get you back as we get into playoff time, and definitely as we'll get your eye on some quarterbacks when we get into NFL draft territory as well, and catch you in the morning on ITG. You on your normal
spot? Yeah, we'll be there tomorrow morning. A lot to talk about leading up to the big game on Saturday.
No doubt about it.
So, Rob, Craig, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks again. Having me, Mike.
Thanks for being here, Mike. That's Mike Morgan of the Elite Media Network and SEC Network. We are going to jump over to our SEC Pretty Campus tour here in just a minute. Let me remind you guys, we're going to hit a break here and then we're going to go over to that video. But let me remind you, this was pre-recorded on Friday and is a great opportunity to see where Joy and I were wrong. We played a little game this week, a little bit of a different feel. And by the way, the link there is in our comments, also in my bio, for you to win free SEC Pretty merchandise. So all you have to do is click on that link, follow us on socials, go to our website, however you want to enter. You can enter all four ways to win free SEC Pretty merch. There's a sweatshirt there, a couple of hats are in there. And so we're looking forward to that. We will be right back after this break with the SEC Pretty Campus Tour.
At TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, we believe true health and peak performance start with personalized care. Whether you're an athlete recovering from injury or just chasing your next personal best, we're here to guide your journey. With expert coaching, hands-on therapy, and transparent cash-based pricing, you get the care you need without the insurance red tape. One client drove 100 miles just to see us and said it was worth every mile. Contact us at trifitperformance.com or 803-353-5619. TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, where recovery meets results.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamandouros, we're on your team!
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome back to SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network. We are here with Daily Joy for our SEC Pretty Campus Tour segment as usual. And this has also become the headliner of the I Was Wrong segment. And so it's really two segments in one. We get Joy talking about what's going on, what campus she's going to visit, what the expectations are. At the end of the year, Joy, I fully expect us to give, we're gonna kind of break down what the best environments were and kind of go through that. But this has also just been the front runner for I Was Wrong. Shout out to our friends at Freezing Cold Takes for giving us a platform to say, hey, we screw it up every week. First of all, how are you? Happy Friday. And where are you headed this weekend?
Thank you so much. Happy Friday. You know, I'm ready for it to be 1 o'clock. So Lane Kiffin can meet with Keith Carter and all of this can be laid to rest once and for all. I don't care where Lane goes. I really could give a, I've just said this off air. I could really give a, you know what Lane's doing. Everyone's really concerned about what Lane's doing and no one's paying attention to what Jimmy Sexton's doing, and what he's doing is a whole hell of a lot more important. And so, yeah, I'm honestly exhausted just from hearing all this all week long. But I'm taking a break this week and I'm staying home. I'm going to a football game. I'm just not going to an SEC game. I am headed to Georgia Tech Pitt, which I know for us SEC people, we're like, that's kind of lame, but Georgia Tech is, you know, a front runner in the ACC. This game has major ACC championship implications, major playoff implications. And I get to sleep in my own bed for the first weekend in 13 weeks. So if you're mad at me, get over it.
I actually love that. And I really love Georgia Tech this year, and I'm excited to see if they can close it out. Part of that is because I picked them preseason to be in the ACC championship game and to beat Georgia next week. Kind of went on out on a limb there, but it looks like at least they're gonna give it a fight, I think. Now in the Benz is a little bit of a different situation than at Bobby Dodd, but have fun over there this weekend. And I want to do something different today and play a little game of Would You Rather, because we have a few different scenarios going on in the SEC, and I just have some questions that I think could set us up to talk about this weekend, but to talk about what's going on over the course of the season in general. All right. So number one, would you rather be a Vanderbilt fan or an Oklahoma fan right now in 2025?
Vanderbilt, simply because I would rather travel to Nashville for games than Norman for games.
I also think Vanderbilt, because I think that this is a higher high for them. You know what I mean? Like if I'm Oklahoma, like this is, a little bit of a first in this 12-team playoff format. It's the first time that they're in playoff contention in the SEC. And it's the first time that we've really seen Brent Venables get it going. And so maybe there's some life infused in them to say, hey, maybe we can make it back. But at the same time, we've never seen this level out of Vanderbilt. And I think if you're one of the 10 or 15 Vanderbilt fans, then you know that at this point, you don't know when this is coming again, because Diego Pablo is going to be gone. And so you kind of got to live in your moment. So I think for now, if I'm living in the moment, I'm living in this year, it's Vanderbilt. I am definitely secretly pulling for them to sneak into the college football playoff, because I would just love to see Pavia mania in that type of tournament layout. Okay, number two.
Yeah.
You're going to an ACC game this weekend. So I'm going to throw one outside of the league. We talk all the time about how the SEC is the best conference in the country. We know this. There's really not an argument to be made. I don't want to hear it from anybody else. But if you had to be an ACC or a Big 12 fan, would you rather be ACC or Big 12?
Big 12. No question about it.
Okay, why?
Better views, more enjoyable climates. Like, I went to Utah last year and had the time of my life. I just think that they, like, the region of the country where majority of their schools are, I really enjoy. They do have pretty good tailgating. I think they have really great football weather. I'm going Big 12. Why not?
I think I'm going Big 12 too. As from a football standpoint.
What's happening today? We've agreed twice already.
I don't know. It's a weird day. Let's see if we can go 5 for 5. If we go 5 for 5, I'm buying a lottery ticket. All right.
Good call.
I'm going Big 12 as well, simply because from a football standpoint, I think it's a better product. I think it's more balanced product. Now, this year is a little bit different because the ACC is really, really wide open. But But traditionally, over the past few years, it's been more of the Big 12. Now, if we're talking basketball, I'm going to have a little bit of a harder time making that call. But we're not talking basketball today.
We're not talking about basketball. Yeah.
We will be there eventually. Okay. So you're, again, staying in Atlanta this weekend. You got a couple of lopsided, weird SEC matchups this weekend. Obviously, you have the Oklahoma-Missouri matchup. We're not talking about that one, though. We got a couple of games with three lost teams that go by the name of UT, and they can argue about who's the real one on their own. I don't really have a dog in that fight. But the Volunteers of Tennessee are going down to Gainesville this weekend to take on a struggling Florida team who has fired their coach. Texas has an Arkansas team that has also fired their coach. Which game day environment would you rather be in this weekend, Gainesville or Austin?
I'm going Florida. And simply because I think at the current moment, Florida's football climate has a lot more hope than Arkansas's. Arkansas hasn't really named any contenders in their coaching search. Bobby Petrino is still the interim. He's not getting the head coaching job. And so I think Florida, obviously, like, there's still the conversation of if they could get Lane. They believe they're going to get a high caliber coach. I think there's a lot of hope right now around their program. And I think they'll show up on Saturday and their fan base will be indicative of that. Also, like, you saw them last week almost pull the upset in Oxford. I think they're a dangerous team. That the interim bump is a real thing, regardless of what anyone wants to say. And I think they would love nothing more than to beat Tennessee at home to put a real final stamp on a season that they're not super proud of.
Yeah, I do think that it has the potential to be the most competitive game, and so that's why I am shockingly going to agree with you once again. I think that the atmosphere in Austin is going to be a little down, considering that Texas now has three losses and there's a little bit of a different outlook towards the end of the year, and it's Arkansas, which, you know, right, is a traditional kind of rival. Southwest Conference, throw it way back.
Yep.
But I don't know that I see that one staying super close.
Right. Agreed.
Texas is going to be able to score. Taylen Green's going to do what he can, but that offense just doesn't have enough. I don't think against Texas's defense to keep up. Maybe it's close early. But I do think if I'm looking at environments, I think that the game itself, which is what I'm concerned with, is going to have a better chance to be a good game between Florida and Tennessee. Okay. So I'm stealing this from Peter Burns, but I think this is an incredible would you rather question. He had it on X yesterday, and we've been talking a lot about coaching searches. Lane Kiffin, you just said off the air that we don't just need to worry about salaries, but we also have to be considering how much NIL money are you going to get?
No doubt.
So Peter posed this hypothetical of $30 million total. So if we have $30 million total, would you rather have a $7 million coach with a $23 million roster, or more balanced, a $14 million coach and a $16 million roster? Your thoughts?
That's such a tricky question, because is this like, or I feel like that's not the easiest. I would, like, me and Peter would have to go back and forth, which he did follow me back today on Twitter. Shout out to you, Peter Burns. So we actually probably could. He'd actually get my notifications. But it's just, that's an intriguing question, because a $7 million coach could be like an up and coming coach that is new, or it could be, you know, a higher caliber coach that's kind of fallen from grace. I don't really know. I think I love a head coach, but I think especially this day and age in college football, they operate so much more in like a GM mentality. Now, obviously you're going to have like your Steve Sarkisians that are going to call games. You're going to have your Lane Kiffins that are insanely innovative when it comes to the offensive side of the ball. But I think like we are still in a day and age where like, I don't think coordinators are getting near enough credit. And the reality is like, if you have a $7 million coach, but you have phenomenal coordinators and you have, what is that? You said $23 million worth of talent?
Yeah.
And $23 million worth of talent with great coordinators? Yeah, give me the $7 million coach any day of the week. And you know what? I will say this. I think any coach this day and age willing to take significantly less money in order to put more money towards his roster speaks volumes to me about the kind of coach he is, because he really legitimately would care about building the program versus taking more money home from himself. At the end of the day, if you're a coach making $7 million, you're fine. You know what I mean? Like you're at this point in time, you have a financial advisor, you're making investments, you're making maybe more than $7 million in the long term. So if you're willing to take a little bit less up front to put more money into a roster in the year of our Lord 2025, I'm taking you all day, every day.
Did we just agree again? Because I'm going $7 million coach.
Oh, good God. And
$23 million roster too.
All right.
I'll send you one my more. Notes because this next one has nothing to do with football, and I have no idea where this is going. And this is a, okay. This is a Craig submitted would you rather. Okay?
Okay.
So Wicked for Good premieres today. And the first movie obviously swept the nation. A lot of incredible reviews. So in the spirit of that, and I'm sure Craig will have seen it by the time we're on Sunday night. I actually shockingly have already seen it. Would you rather be Elphaba or Glinda?
Ooh.
Don't blow it, Joy, because don't blow this. We're 4 for 4.
Elphaba. I mean, the badass thing's defining gravity.
Okay, we just went 5 for 5.
Let's go.
What the heck is going on? We agreed on everything today. We're in an alternate universe. I'm not sure what's happening, but
also, let's be honest.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Honestly, never.
Linda is like way too like preppy and da 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 for me. Like the preppiest thing about me is the fact that my name is Daily Joy. Outside of that, I'm not very preppy. And Glinda's the queen of prep. So I'm just really not her vibe.
This is true. And, you know, traditionally I've been pretty prep in my life, but we've moved away from that. All right. 30 seconds. Where's Lane Kiffin going?
I'm going to be so honest. I don't know. As of this morning, he's meeting with the AD at Ole Miss in about 2 hours. I do know that this morning there was a lot of uproar because there was a flight out of Baton Rouge that went to Oxford, and it was slated to leave Oxford and go to Gainesville this afternoon. As of 4 minutes ago, I got a text that schedule has since changed and it's going back to Baton Rouge. So I think Jimmy Sexton is playing everybody. I mean, legitimately, when I tell y'all nothing could shock me, you could tell me that Lane Kiffin is taking the head coaching job at the University of Minnesota and I would believe you. Like there is not one thing that Jimmy Sexton could pull out of his hat that would leave me in shock, because that's just who he is. I think it would be really hard, or we talked about this off air, for Lane to stay in Oxford. I think I firmly believed he was staying in Oxford for most of this saga, but the way that they have reacted to him, the way that they treated him, the toxicity that is currently in that small little town that you cannot escape, I feel like it would be really hard for him to stay. But out of Florida and LSU, for me, it's a coin toss. I do not know.
All right. Well, there is an offensive coordinator position open in Columbia, South Carolina. So if nothing could shock you, I'll see if I can get Jimmy Sexton on the phone. All right, Joy, have fun. Have fun with the Yellow Jackets this weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Rob. Bye.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt D'Amaduro's Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt D'Amaduro's, we're on your team.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
At TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, We believe true health and peak performance start with personalized care. Whether you're an athlete recovering from injury or just chasing your next personal best, we're here to guide your journey. With expert coaching, hands-on therapy, and transparent cash-based pricing, you get the care you need without the insurance red tape. One client drove 100 miles just to see us and said it was worth every mile. Contact us at trifitperformance.com or 803-353-5619. TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, where recovery meets results.
Yo, what's up? Baby, let's go!
This is SEC Sunday Night on the Chief Sports Network.
Welcome back to SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network. I am, as always, Rob Williams. He's Craig McMichael. We are joined now by our friend Drew Crabtree, and we are always presented by Hewitt Dumaduro's Law. I'll remind you again that we have a free giveaway of SEC Pretty merch. If you like the segment there with Joy, we do it every week on Friday as she's on the campus. And we're giving away some of her stuff for free. Free hats, free sweatshirt. All you got to do is click the link that's in the comments. It's also in my bio to enter. And when it's almost Christmas time, I know it's time to start shopping. I've already started shopping. Hope you boys have started shopping. Make sure we get our stuff done. Go ahead and just
win something for free.
Win something for free. You know what, Drew? We need to send you some SEC Pretty merch anyway to kind of get you on the right team.
I'll wear it proudly. I have something for you. Enjoy. And even in your case, though it's the toughest case I've yet to face, don't worry, I'm determined to succeed. Follow my lead. And yes, indeed, you will be popular.
Oh, you're going to be popular. Okay, we're way off the rails.
Drew is over. Drew is like, this is the game week.
Happened?
He's crossing out the M's. He's crossing out the gold or the maize or the corn or whatever it is.
Things that weren't on my list tonight, my bingo card, were you and I singing Popular. But thank you for striking that one up for us.
Hey, listen, all right. It's all good. I'm sorry you guys were wrong.
We were wrong about a few things. We weren't wrong about a lot of things. I nailed the Texas-Arkansas prediction this week.
DKR was lit, though.
It was. We missed that one for sure. That Florida-Tennessee game was a dud from the jump. Tennessee jumped all over them. What you didn't see is, because I cut it out because it wasn't SEC material, is that we pretty much nailed the Pitt-Georgia Tech game as well. But I pulled
That you nailed?
Of course.
That you nailed? Who's your $7 million coach?
Hey, I got that from Peter Burns.
James Franklin? Because James Franklin's like a $4 million coach now.
Well, I think Joy made a great point in that would you rather, which is – What does that $7 million coach look like? Is this an up and coming coach that we've just hired out of a lower, quote unquote, lower tier, or is it
born on third base?
Somebody who, like James Franklin, who's been fired and is trying to resurface? Huh?
Was he born on third base?
No, of course not. And if you're referencing Shane Beamer, he makes over $7 million. And that's not
you know what I love about that? Roster. I was actually ripping on Ryan Day, but then you took offense to it, so I offended you both. So I win.
All right, Drew, can you save us and let's talk about some real stuff here? Look, we're getting close to the college football playoff. Let's look at the Big Ten first. Here's what happens. When it gets close to college football playoff time, I know that the top of the screen says SEC Sunday Night. The logo under my face says SEC Sunday Night. But at this point in the year, everything is an SEC conversation because when we get into the college football playoff, all these conferences start to kind of melt together because we got to talk about each other. It's hard to get by yourself. It's hard to get the blinders on. It's hard to get words out apparently too. All right. So we talked to you about Talk to me about the Big Ten and what do you see is going on? Obviously, there's a pretty big game coming up this weekend with a two-loss Michigan team and Ohio State. But there's a few teams in the Big Ten that are, I would say, lurking around this playoff discussion outside of Ohio State, Indiana, and Oregon.
Yeah, right now it looks like Ohio State and Indiana are pretty well solidified in their spots, barring 70-point losses to Michigan and Purdue. I think they're both pretty well locked, especially since they're 11-0 at this point. Oregon is interesting. I think Oregon is a win-and-you're-in situation. Losing to Washington, while in the preseason I was higher on Washington. I really like Damon Williams, and I really like Jonah Coleman at running back and their wide receivers and everything like that. They haven't been what I expected them to be. So losing to them would definitely give Oregon it would really hurt their chances. Now, they finally did get a win over a team that's actually semi-decent in USC, but that's their only one. And then, yeah, Michigan. Two losses at this point to Oklahoma and USC, both in dominating fashion. They're on their third string running back. I think he's a walk-on or something. Their top two running backs who are studs are hurt. I know that Justice Haynes ain't going to play this weekend. I don't think that Marshall isn't going to play this weekend. But there is one path to four Big Ten teams, and I want to light that path on fire. I'm okay with three in the CFP. There is one path to four. And
tell us about that path, Drew.
That one path is Michigan beating Ohio State. There's still a very slim chance that Michigan can make it to the Big Ten title game. A lot of things have to happen. But if Michigan, defends the Big House and beats Ohio State, it'll obviously depend on where they're ranked come Tuesday night. It's going to be a massive resume booster for a team that's on the bubble right now. I don't think that they're really CFP material, but I also don't think that they were – good last year, and they still won. So
they're 18 now? 18? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, they maintained at 18.
That would be a huge jump. And you look at Bryce Underwood, the $12 million man, allegedly, really has not played up to it. He had a decent game against Maryland, but Maryland is better at crab cakes and lacrosse than they are football. That's for you, Rob. But, you look at what he did. You look at what Michigan did a few weeks ago in Chicago, playing at Wrigley, had five turnovers. I was envious of my nephew, though. He's a freshman at Michigan. And he's like, oh, yeah, on a whim, we decided to go to Chicago, and then we went to Wrigley for the game. And I'm like, I wish I was 18 and I could do things like that and be fun. But, that was great. But, yeah, I agree with you, because I look at what Michigan did against Oklahoma. If I bring it back to the SEC, I'm like my host who wants to talk about everybody else but the SEC. Oklahoma did a very effective job at neutralizing the Michigan run game and making Bryce Underwood basically putting the game on his shoulders. And to me, Matt Patricia has done an excellent job at Ohio State. He seems like he is playing chess when the rest of everyone else is playing checkers. If they can do that, I would like to see Ohio State turn that around and hopefully in a convincing fashion in Ann Arbor this weekend.
Well, the thing is with that, I 100% agree. And like game plan, and when I'm going to – honestly, I've got like five or six articles that I want to write for Last Word just to get all these thoughts out. The strength, obviously, of the defense is the defense, but is definitely in the run game. And if they are able to take away Cusdall, who is the number three running back, and then also neutralize Underwood's athletic ability, because he's a freak athlete. He kind of reminds me of Joe Milton in the sense that he's a good athlete. He can throw the ball far. It's just hitting his wide receivers that's going to be the issue. But the Buckeyes – the most that they've allowed outside of the Texas game, because they allowed 166 on the ground against Texas, the most that they've allowed outside of that was 95. Like last week, Antoine Randall I believe. The Rutgers running back, he came off of a 200-some-odd yard game the previous week, and they held him to nothing. The run defense is ridiculously good. I do have a couple of concerns when it comes to, like, stretching the boundary and off-tackle runs and whatnot, because if you run it right at Caden McDonald, you're going to find out that, you know, that game plan is going to work as well as Ryan Day's game plan last year, trying to run at Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham. But, you know, that this Saturday is going to be – it has to be a game in which Matt Patricia takes over and guys like Cade McDonald on the interior, Arvell Reese at linebacker, and Sonny Styles, they're both athletic enough that they can spy Underwood and make sure that if he's going to take off, he doesn't get anywhere. I think that they've matched up well with Michigan the last 4 years. So it's gonna take Ryan Day to get out of his own way. I think they can still do it, but the neutralizing the run game and making Underwood throw the ball and beat you over the top is going to be the key.
If I'm Ryan Day, just out at athlete him. Like, you've got the athletes. You don't have to go running in a phone booth. You don't have to run them over.
That's what Urban
did. Just pretend Don Brown is running the defense for Michigan. Hit your crossing routes and just go crazy.
Yeah,
I think that's been really. Go ahead, Drew.
That's Wink Martindale is very similar to Don Brown in that sense. He's obviously got their defense playing at a ridiculous level because it's Michigan. But yeah, no, it out athlete them. That's literally how Urban Meyer was able to put up 60 on them in 2018 or something like that. They just you have better dudes. Ohio State's got better dudes on offense, assuming that, you know, Carnell and Jeremiah do play, than Michigan has on defense. Just literally, all you got to do is get it to them and let them play. Don't overthink it.
Do I get to share a byline this week on some of your articles because I gave you these wonderful ideas?
We'll talk to Tony about it.
Okay, well, then there goes that idea.
It's 8:50 here on SEC Sunday night. We have our friend Drew Crabtree from Last Word on College Football here, who covers Ohio State primarily, but also the entirety of the Big Ten. If you want to read his stuff this week, make sure that you're checking that out at lastwordoncollegefootball.com. Here we have, from friend of the show, Andy Staples, the projected bracketology and how it would shake out if the college football playoff started now. Only a couple of weeks left, the final week of the season, and then Conference Championship week to kind of influence how this is going to shake out. So it's really coming into focus. And here's the thing that I want to pat myself on the back one more time. So much I was wrong around here. Occasionally we have to call it out,
just
right?
With you.
Last week, Craig tried to start a segment called the gloating segment or something like that. I'm going to take the gloating this week. On the first week that the college football playoff rankings came out at the beginning of November, we did a Tuesday night special and reacted. We're going to have another one of those Tuesday night specials coming up for the final rankings as well. But I said immediately Notre Dame is going to be a problem in this scenario. Notre Dame was positioned to hold their ground even though their resume does not stack up to do so, because the committee handicapped themselves by putting Notre Dame so high in the original poll that it's going to be hard for other teams to jump them. And it has been widely reported this week. Josh Pate had it. Several other people have had it. For those of you who do not know, the way that these rankings are done is that these teams are put into groups based on where they are falling in the poll, right? And so they'll put a grouping. I'm not sure exactly how many teams are going into that, but 4 to 5 teams in a group. And then they'll evaluate them against one another to figure out exactly the order that they're going to go, for example, 1 through 5 or 6 through 10. Notre Dame and Miami have not fallen into the same evaluation group yet. Hunter Yurecek said, when and if, or maybe that was Mac Rhodes before all that caught on fire, one of the chairmen of this committee has told us at some point that they have not been put into the same evaluation group. But if they were put into the same evaluation group, that Miami's head-to-head would weigh significantly in how they were ranked. So right now you have Notre Dame at number 9. You have Miami in that first 4 out in the mid-teens there. But there is a path for Miami to continue to climb. They have a game against Pitt this week, which is going to be a ranked matchup. There are some opportunities for ACC literal chaos. And if Miami gets to the ACC championship game, what is the argument that's going to be made for these Canes to get in? What if they lose the ACC championship game?
Ready?
What if they beat, what if they beat Pitt? Hold on. What if they beat Pitt and they finish 10-2, as does Notre Dame? And then you have these two lost teams. Let's talk Miami and Notre Dame specifically, and then I'm going to let Craig respond to that question, and then, Drew, you and I can think a little more logically, and I'll give you the entire list of two lost teams as it stands right now that we can stack up against the Irish.
Okay.
Go ahead, Craig.
First and foremost.
Tell us why you hate Miami and not because you don't like Carson Beck.
Carson Beck is just going to throw the ball to the other team, whichever shade of blue Pitt's wearing this weekend. But here's the thing. Miami's got to go to Pittsburgh. It's going to be like 36 degrees in Pittsburgh. Carson Beck is going to be cold and chilly, and I'm sure that's not going to bode well for them. Also, Pat Narduzzi is actually playing an ACC opponent and not playing some non-conference game against Notre Dame. So he's actually going to be focused. So Miami is not going to be 10-2. So if you would please, for once, stop with the ifs and buts and, well, maybe if this happens, stop. Miami's going to get a third loss, and it's going to be inconsequential. Moving to the next point. Notre Dame is one of the best teams out there. In their last nine games, quoteth Stuart Mandel, Notre Dame has won 9 straight games by an average margin of 43-14. They were up 21-0 before their offense touched the field on Saturday. And
against Syracuse on their fourth quarterback.
It doesn't matter. It was a
quality of opponent. Now we're going to drop that off.
No, it's a G4 team. That's all I hear about. Oh, it wasn't like the SEC or whatever Dan Lanning was saying. It was a G4 team. So they smashed them. Notre Dame is playing as well as anybody in the country. So if we're going to use the eye test, but again, we're also going to talk about the most important thing. Notre Dame brings eyeballs. Notre Dame, Oklahoma in Norman Friday night. That's a $15 million views ratings, brother. ESPN is going to be for that. Notre Dame is not going anywhere. They will be right there, and they will find their way into the second round of the playoffs, just like they did last year.
Notre Dame has 2 quality wins.
Okay, how many does Texas A&M have at number 3?
On the season.
Texas 2. A&M has – okay, they beat Notre Dame. Name one more that they have.
They played the entire bottom of the SEC, haven't they?
They haven't played anybody with a winning record. And they almost lost to South Carolina.
Missouri.
Okay, Missouri, I'm sorry, not good.
Wow, Maggie, those shots early. What happens when Texas A&M beats Texas this week, Craig?
Not going to happen.
Oh, my goodness. You're just – all right, Drew, let me give you the list really quick, okay?
What's list?
Here are the current –
I need a list.
Here are the current 2 lost teams.
You're on every list out there.
In the top 25. Current 2 lost teams in the top 25. Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Alabama, who are all currently in. Then I threw this one in because it's not a 2 loss, but it counts. A 1 loss BYU, Utah, Miami, Vanderbilt, Georgia Tech, Michigan, UVA, and Tulane. Current 2 loss teams that are ranked. How many of these teams are we taking over Notre Dame? Now, currently, Oklahoma is ranked over them. Alabama is ranked right below them.
I think Notre Dame.
I'm not talking about your eye test. I'm talking about when we look at who they've played, when we look at strength of schedule.
Alabama should be 6 or 7. They should be right there with, like, Oklahoma. Like, it should probably be because if we're going to use head-to-head matchups, which are totally fictional. But they've beaten 4 top 25 teams.
Did you just say head-to-head is fictional? That's the only factual things that we have.
Yeah, but Alabama had 1 bad day. Well, maybe 2. 1 against Florida State, 1 against
Oklahoma. That
was a really bad day. That was a bad day. And let's be honest. Who here thinks Oklahoma is getting out of the first round? because we all know Oklahoma is probably not going to have 200 yards of offense, and they're probably going to get beat 17-13 at home in Norman.
Well, the problem with that sort of line of thinking is you have 12 teams that are going to be in this college football playoff. Yep. Not all 12 of them are going to be able to win the national title.
Not even close. No.
That's also one thing that you know, people are like, well, why is there?
Put the graphic back up, and we can point out who could win a national title. Can you put that graphic back up, Rob? Thank you. I'm a visual learner.
I mean, I only see one, but Georgia. Sure. but that's the thing is, you know,
I can do six. I can make an argument for six, but it's a tough argument.
Right. Six? Like,
yeah.
Who's your six?
Well, the top four. Are we in agreement on the top four?
No.
You're going to tell me Texas A&M can't win a national championship? Is that what we're doing?
And Indiana.
Okay, so what about I don't think Oklahoma can. What about Alabama or Ole Miss, Craig? Thoughts?
Alabama, yes, can, because I think their defense can be good enough, and as long as Ty Simpson takes care of the ball, they can win it.
Which he has.
Old Miss won't even be in the playoff when Lane leaves to go to LSU, and they'll be bounced just like FSU.
Okay, let's take that aside for just a moment, because I do want to talk about it. Do we think, Drew, I want to get your opinion outside of this, do we think the committee drops Ole Miss completely out when/if it is announced that Lane Kiffin's going to LSU on Saturday morning?
Honestly, I'm hoping for it, because that's going to be chaotic. Because I think they're going to have a very similar situation as to what they had a few years ago with Florida State being unbeaten and losing their starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. What is Ole Miss without Lane Kiffin? Obviously, they've still got all the talent and everything like that, but are we really going to put an interim coach in the college football playoff?
Nope.
Like, that's my thing. Like, Ole Miss is a good team. And, like, you got all these things, but Ole Miss is trying to strong-arm Lane Kiffin into this decision. And I'm like, I don't think that you've got as much leverage as you think you do. Because, like, historically, Ole Miss isn't exactly a team that can strong-arm their coach. Like, Alabama could strong-arm Kalen DeBoer if he's sniffing around at Penn State, like those weird rumors that I keep seeing. But, like, I don't know. That would be obviously unprecedented. But I would pray for it, because that would be chaotic, and that would be like a top five day on the internet over the last few years.
Do you see Texas?
I think it's definitely possible. Texas Tech is the other one that I would argue that could win.
I don't think their offense is good enough. Our good boy Andrew McCleary would talk about that red zone offense just being putrid. It must be something in the state of Texas, because Arch and the Horns aren't very good either. But I'm curious. I do think Texas Tech gets into that top four. I don't know if it's Indiana or if it's Texas A&M that falls out of the top four there, but I do see Tech finding their way in. Whoever loses the SEC championship will slide out of that top four, and then Tech will go in there. Because I do think for optics, you want three conferences represented there. I don't think you just want the SEC.
You keep saying that.
Yes, because I'm right, and I make good points. That's why I say things, Rob.
But do we think that the optics might just be that Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey are already spinning things, and they
Tony Petitti's trying to destroy his conference. We could let Drew wax poetic for a while, but Tony Petitti's trying to destroy his conference. Tony Petitti has no leverage.
I would make an argument that the former commissioner of the Big Ten didn't make all the best decisions for the conference either, and thought with more of a professional mindset. But somehow they still have a lot of power over there, Drew. Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon. Would you be willing to lock those three into the playoff at this point? Are you willing to lock up that Oregon over Washington game this weekend?
Yeah, I think Oregon's playing well enough. A lot of people are overlooking Oregon for some reason. Like, I remember saying a couple weeks ago on this show, and then also on another one, I view Oregon as a really good team. They have a high ceiling and they have a low floor because of how, like, young they are. They didn't have a wide receiver core coming into the season because of all the injuries. And, you know, DeCorian Moore and all of them have stepped up. And then their running backs, Jordan Davison and Hill, have stepped up. I'm pretty confident in saying that they're going to end up beating Washington. Obviously, you know, Washington's kind of had their number. What was it, 2 years ago when they went to the national title game? They beat Oregon twice, once in the regular season and once in the Pac-12 championship game to close out the conference of champions. But I think that Oregon will take care of it and that will lock their place. I do see three Big Ten teams in the college football playoff, and I don't want to think about a fourth.
I'm right there with you. And you looked at, like, you know, this week, Oregon won that game without their top two wide receivers. So if they can get at least one or two of them back and healthy, Oregon's another one that I think can make that run. Dan Lanning is a good coach. I know our buddy John Smith was all upset because Lanning was ripping on the SEC this week and talking about their cupcake schedule. Listen, that's Dan Lanning's job. And let's be honest, outside of Athens, is there anybody who probably wouldn't take Dan Lanning as their coach? I mean, I'm pretty sure almost every university in the SEC would take Dan Lanning, even if he ripped on the SEC. I'm pretty sure he'd be okay because he's a good recruiter and he's a hell of a football coach.
All right, Drew, one more. We'll get you out of here. We've talked about the Big Ten. We talked about the SEC. We kind of made our way around. Craig and I are going to get to some ACC chaos here in just a minute. We're going to get to the SEC championship scenarios. But before we get you out of here as a Maction lover, let's talk G5 just for a second. If you have to put your money, fly like a G6. If you have to put your money on one team coming out of that world. Now, you know what? Actually, I may have this for us, but if you have to put your money on a team coming out of that world, who is it for you?
James Madison. I was definitely impressed. Obviously, Washington State is a used to be Power Four, Power Five, now is, you know, going to headline the G6 and the pack, what used to be 12. But I really like James Madison. But I think that the problem is going to be it's going to be another Sun Belt versus American Conference argument of whose schedules are better and whatnot. I'm like, you guys are both pretty. Like, just let's put the American champion and the Sun Belt champion in the college football and leave the ACC out. How's that sound?
I would be okay with that. Have you read James Madison's notes on the Constitutional Convention?
Check out that graphic. Speaking of leaving people out.
Who are you taking?
For those of you who are listening on podcasts and can't see this, by the way, remember to rate, review, and subscribe on podcasts, on Apple Podcasts, and on Google Play as well, on Spotify, wherever you're going to find us. Right. Here's a scenario from our friends in College Football Zone. There are two open spots remaining in the college football playoff. Let's say that's the case. Mm-hmm. You need the conference champions. So we have two AQs, two automatic qualifiers here. Are you taking a 9-3 ACC champion SMU, an 11-1 American champion North Texas, an 11-1 Sun Belt champion JMU? You can only pick two, SMU, North Texas, JMU. That's if the ponies can pull it out in the ACC, which is chaotic right now.
Like, I'm definitely – I mean, I'm always stumping for the group of five, just in general, group of six next year, because I don't think the winner of the ACC is – they have just as much a chance of moving on as anyone in the group of five. SMU, they're not ranked right now. Like, they would have to jump everybody in order to get in. And, you know, we'll have to see on Tuesday, but – James Madison, North Texas, and I think it's Tulane are all ranked in the AP poll, which has been – the AP poll and the College Football Playoff Committee poll have been two very different monsters at the bottom third. But I'm taking James Madison and North Texas just for the whimsical nature of it, just because it would just be fun.
I'm taking North Texas and SMU – because everything's bigger in Texas, and that's going to give Texas five teams in the college football playoff. Yeah, I'm all about it. And shout out to SMU and the Pony Express for coming in and showing it's not hard to win in the ACC. They're going to come in. They're going to be in their second straight ACC championship. And unlike last year, they're not going to
take no money. And they're taking no money. They paid their
way
through.
They don't need their money. They don't need their money.
Shout out to Drew Crabtree for being here with us, Drew. Thanks a lot. We hope you have a great week. Good luck in the game next Saturday. Make sure that you go check out Drew's stuff this week. Last word on college football. Read his stuff.
Did I do that right?
I know. Yeah, you did it right. You're good.
Thanks, Drew. We'll see you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
All right, everybody. Again, that's Drew Crabtree with Last Word on College Football. Craig and I have a couple things to discuss here as we get going into the It Just Means More Genius segment. One thing I want to do really quick, Craig, is I want to throw this up for our friend Tyler Markley. This is last week's schedule. Just take a look at that. Just a beautiful graphic. If you guys are not following, if you're not following Projection Sports, it's at PROJ Sports. I'm going to make sure we get that in there.
So I had a daddy-daughter date on Saturday night, and for some reason, someone requested the NFL Red Zone on Saturday night. I was like, what is happening here? Like, we had Notre Dame smashing somebody. I just was very, very confused by that. Very confused by that. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what's going on a Friday night. In the NFL, I do have the NFL game on now, as I always do, but yeah, I'm not really sure. But make sure my reason for pointing this out about Tyler is at PROJ Sports, Projection Sports, Tyler Markley, get this next week. You're going to want that one. You're going to want that one next week, okay?
We're going to frame that one.
Yeah, it's going to be good stuff. Okay, Craig, here is from my friend Cole Kublik, the scenarios to shake out the SEC championship game. Let's throw this up first from Reddit College Football. The Sun Belt has divisions and everything is just like all hunky-dory and how this is going to play out. Everybody else, Craig, has gone away from divisions. You know, JB asked me on ITG at the beginning of the season, maybe even in the preseason, if I could change one thing with the constant change in college football, if I could go back and have it my way and have one thing back, what would it be? And at that point in time, I didn't think this was a really big take, a really controversial take, or even something that was really juicy. But I said I wanted divisions back in the SEC, or I wanted some type of system that could divide things out.
Yep.
And I'll give you a chance here just to talk about pods for just a moment. But however we do it, whether it's pods or divisions or whatever, it gives us a more clear-cut answer, and I am all about giving us clear-cut answers. We're about to get into absolute wacky zone in all these conferences to determine who's going to the conference championship game because we've eliminated divisions, and I just don't I can't. I can't believe it. I can't believe the tiebreaker scenarios that we have. We might as well just be rolling dice and flipping coins.
And that's the thing is, like, I like the idea of no divisions because what did we have in the SEC for so long? It was the SEC least and the big bad SEC West. I don't like the idea of divisions because that permanently divides the conference. Instead, what I would argue is that we should go to a pod system. 16 and 18 are way too many teams to have in a division to actually figure it out. See Texas A&M playing nobody with a winning record, yet still finding their way and a path to the SEC championship. So my recommendation, I wrote about this back in the summer, was to go to a pod system. Now, here's the beautiful thing. In the SEC, we have 16 teams. I don't care what the Big Ten's doing because with their 18 or 20 teams or whatever they're doing. In the SEC, we have four pods for the 16 teams. And what you can do is you go, whoever, you know, from based on the previous year, whoever finished 1, 2, 3, 4, those are the top of your pods. And you use that system and you stack these pods all the way out. And then you play pods 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3. And that's your crossover. It gives you some more exciting, but it allows you to balance some things out. I think it provides a little bit of a semblance of kind of what's happening. And then I think it helps to balance out maybe what can be some of a little bit of that wonkiness and some of that chaos that we've seen with the scheduling this far in the SEC. So I'm very much in favor of a pod system. Please do not give me divisions, because then again, we're going to get to a situation where Georgia doesn't play Texas A&M for about 25 years.
Yeah, that is a fair point about divisions, but I do think it gives us a little more clarity. The pod thing is really, really the solve it all for me, and that's why I want to stay there. To that point, again, Cole Kublik gives us this. I'll read it for those of you listening on podcast. SEC championship game clinching scenarios. Georgia needs an Alabama loss or a Texas A&M loss. So in the event that, let's just say it this way, if Alabama wins and Texas A&M wins, that's your championship game.
Yep.
Georgia needs one of them to lose, and then Georgia will get in against the other one. So Alabama just needs to win, and they're in. Texas A&M needs to win or have Alabama and Ole Miss lose. And then Ole Miss has the longest shot. They need to win, and they need both Texas A&M and Alabama to lose. So basically, the clearest path here is Alabama and Texas A&M. Georgia can get in with one of them losing. And Ole Miss needs both of them to lose to get in. I know that you feel strongly that Arch and the Longhorns are going to beat the Aggies. It is a clear setup for us next week for I Was Wrong. I've got freezing cold takes already queued up and ready for you, because I am going to sit here and tell you, Giggum, that Texas A&M is still going to get my vote for the best team in the country right now in the way that they're playing. So I think until proven otherwise, we've got an interesting matchup between the Aggies and the Horns. So it looks to me like we're going to get tied Aggies in the SEC championship game, in which case I would actually take Alabama.
What are you going to do when it's Georgia Ole Miss?
You know what? That's a long shot. That's the longest shot scenario of all of this. But it can happen. I just don't have any real faith in Auburn.
Does Lane change his mind if Auburn beats, like, let's just play it out for a moment, right? The Egg Bowl is on Friday at noon, which is an absolute travesty. That should be on Thursday night. And then sometime Saturday morning, we're supposed to hear what Lane's doing. But by that time, we'll already know that Arch was victorious over Texas A&M. Let's just say, for example, Lane says, oh, I'm going to LSU. And then all of a sudden, DJ Durkin and the shop of and the little shop of horrors that is Jordan Hare sneaks up and defeats the Tide. And now Ole Miss is in. Does Lane have to change his mind, or are we going to interim coach in the SEC championship game?
I think we're going interim coach in the SEC championship game.
All right. And let's be fair, one more thing to say, I was wrong. Lane is the ultimate troll. Lane will reenact at the center of Hale State, I'm not going anywhere, in the post-game victory speech.
Are you saying right now you think he's going to stay in Oxford?
I do.
Based on everything that we know, you think he's going to stay in Oxford?
I do.
That is the wildest thing. All right.
He looked at the Week 13 slate and he saw the offenses he'd have to work with in Gainesville and Baton Rouge, and he doesn't have time for all that.
You're crazy. I'm betting my house that he's going to LSU. Okay. Here we go. We've made it through all of our real conversations, and so now it's time for some we'll call them other conversations, right? Our other conversations, the conversations that are serious about results on the field, which I think is an incredibly important thing for us to discuss this time of year, right?
Yep.
That has to be discussed. But we also have the greatest holiday of all time to discuss, because it is Thanksgiving week after all.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no better day than Thanksgiving. I will continue to argue gifts are overrated, and for that reason, I think that Christmas and Thanksgiving are celebrated very similarly in the U.S., and the only difference is the gifts in a lot of ways, and I would prefer just to get together with family and friends, to relax, to eat good food, to have quality conversation, to spend real time together, and not have the pressure of having to exchange $20 gift cards with someone else. So, give me Thanksgiving. Now, Craig, let's play a little this or that, a little either or, if you will.
Ooh.
Thanksgiving edition. Let's go a little up-tempo right here. It's a 2-minute offense.
Go fast. Go fast.
We still got to get to genius. All right, turkey. We going oven roasted or fried?
Oven roasted. Turkey. Oven roasted. I cook mine in the bag. It keeps it nice and juicy and moist. We have the stuffing inside the bird. Oh, give it to me all day long.
Okay. Get the heck out of here. First of all, fried. We're deep frying that sucker. I'm in South Carolina.
Burning your house down.
And you do it outside.
Call the fire department. We're frying
it outside. If you know what you're doing, you get the oil going, you got to drop it in. We're frying it. And you already queued up number two, stuffing or dressing. I'll go first on this one. It is dressing, and it's all day dressing. I want it a little thinner. I don't want a big thick one. And I don't want it super moist. I want it kind of dry, if I'm being honest with you, and go light on the celery. I can do without it. Go ahead.
It goes in the damn bird, Rob. I use Grandma Shippey's, my great-grandmother's recipe, a little poultry seasoning, some carrots, some celery, some onions, some shallots, some sugar. It goes in the bird. It cooks for that 5 hours. It is soft. It is succulent. It is savory. It is also a little moist, and it is so darn good. But don't worry, for the wife who's just like you, I also make it as dressing and put it in the oven, which is the wrong way to go.
All right, what about the potatoes? Are we going mashed or sweet potato casserole?
Mashed all day long.
All right, we're 3 for 3 on disagreeing, because it's sweet potato casserole for sure. This is the dessert that you get to count as an actual side dish.
I don't like sweet potatoes.
This is not your little plate that's got the banana pudding on it. So that's your real dessert. This is the side dish that's actually a dessert. Okay.
I don't like sweet potatoes.
Cranberries, we go in canned jelly or homemade sauce.
You gotta go the jellied. You gotta, it pops out of the ocean spray thing. Pop and go right onto the thing. It goes on the relish tray.
No.
Pickles and your olives.
No. No. We want it homemade. Get out of here with that canned stuff. All right. What about vegetables? You going roasted Brussels sprouts or green bean casserole?
Can I do a side note real quick and go off the rails for a little bit?
Just for a moment.
Okay. We had a potluck at the middle school, and the athletic director brought in his air fryer and cooked the Brussels sprouts with the onion in his office and stunk up the entire middle school. It smelled like Brussels sprouts and onions, but I'm still making Paula Deen's green bean casserole.
Finally, we agreed on one. I'm going green bean casserole as well.
Paula Deen's?
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of butter in it.
I like Paula. Yeah, a little bit. All right, here's one with the bread. Are we going dinner rolls or cornbread? That's tough. That's tough. Here's what I'll say.
Who's making the cornbread?
My mom. Ordinarily, I would go cornbread because I love cornbread, but Thanksgiving is the type of meal that I really need to stop. You know what I mean? I need to do a little wiping, a little cleaning up the juices when I'm done. And for that, I need the dinner roll, not the cornbread. The cornbread's going to fall apart on me. So I'm going to go with the roll.
A few years ago, I did a sourdough cornbread stuffing. It was really good. It was really good. Good little mix there.
Okay, now that sounds incredible, and I can definitely get down with that.
Are you going to eat it was in the bird, or are you going to like, I want the bird, I need the dressing?
No, I want it in the dressing.
All right.
All right. Okay. Pies, pumpkin or pecan?
Pecan every single day of the week. Give me a little splotch of vanilla bean ice cream on top. Take that pumpkin pie and just throw it in the garbage. Most of it's made with squash anyway. It should be called squash pie, not pumpkin pie.
Yeah, I actually agree with you on this one too. Very rarely are we agreeing on this many things. I thought a minute ago that when we started out, we were going to disagree on everything, and we were going to be in this weird alternate universe because, you know, Joy and I agreed on everything.
Yeah. It's like this weird Yankee Southern thing.
And that's definitely what it is. Okay, finally, leftovers. Are we doing the turkey sandwich or the turkey soup?
No turkey gumbo on there for Joy and Baton Rouge.
Indeed, there's not.
I'm going turkey sandwich.
Yes. Yes. I'm high-fiving you through my screen. I'm going with the sandwich for sure. And in true Friends fashion, you got to put that piece of bread in the middle that's been soaked in the turkey juice, the moist maker.
The moist maker.
And if I label it and take it to work, Don't eat my sandwich. All
did
right.
You see one that thing in the rerun? Did you see that live?
Rerun. But I can quote every episode of Friends. Don't get me started. Okay.
I'll be there for, those of you, for you.
For those of you who are not ITG regulars, I'll give them an extra shout out here. Sweet Teases, turkey brine. If you are brining your turkey this year, absolutely incredible. Certified South Carolina homegrown product, Sweet Teases turkey brine. It is a sweet tea-based brine for the turkey, and I've been told it is absolutely insane. I'm going to go in and quote tweet it from Jamie Bradford right now, and you'll be able to find it on my page. It'll be posted right there on my X account if you want to go get it. Sweet Teases. You can order your jar of turkey brine right there. All right, Craig, do you have your readers? Actually, let's go here first before we go. It just means more genius. It's time to talk about what's happening in the world around us from the message board genius to right here on SEC Sunday Night. It's an incredible partnership. It's been going for years. We love it. It's incredible. We love MBG. And another thing that I will say really quickly is Casey is not here with us tonight, which is disappointing.
Way to go, Casey.
And he says that it's because he is traveling up to see family for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Correct? Am I correct in that? Is that the message that he gave us?
That's what he told us, but like he was very shady. It was like I think
he's just afraid to come on ahead of South Carolina versus Clemson. So we'll see what happens next week in that matchup to see if he actually shows up.
You know what happened this weekend to him? You know what happened this weekend? You know what they didn't have in the press box at Clemson?
What's that?
No purple Powerade.
No,
my boy was cooked on Saturday. My boy was cooked on Saturday.
What are they having?
Speaking
rice
of purple Powerade,
go ahead. You got it.
Rice had a football game this weekend. To entice students, they offered free beer. Here was the thing that the students had to get: one beer per visit, three beers per game, 1,246 beers distributed. Now, here's the question. I had to go to our good friend, Dan Wetzel, and say, is free Busch Light really worth it to watch Rice football? To which Dan Wetzel replied, absolutely. He should have went to Rice University. I don't think I'm getting Busch Light. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to put the pinky high in the air, and I don't think I'm not getting free Busch Light. What about you, Rob Williams?
If I'm a Rice student, is that what we're doing? This is for students, right?
Yeah, but I'm not. Okay, so, yeah. If you, I guess you got to be a Rice student.
Okay, yeah, I'm all over this.
Yeah, I mean,
there's not a question in my mind. If I'm a Rice student, I'm eating that up. Okay, let's read a couple boards here. Kentucky would be over 500 in the SEC. Go for it, Craig. You got the readers on.
Okay, so this is from the scoreboard. And from Uncle Lester, before anyone gets upset, this Western Kentucky team would be over 500 in the SEC. This is a good ball club that we're having to compete against tonight with our senior all-SEC quarterback. Don't be hard on these Tigers just quite yet. Rob, would Western Kentucky be over 500 in the SEC?
This is one of the more insane takes that we've had from MBG all year. Western Kentucky over 500 in the SEC.
No, not even
a chance. Not even a little bit. No way in this world. And
would they have a better record than Carolina? Would they be 2-6? That's it. That's the bar.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, speaking of which, I don't think we had this one. Did you see what they put on the scoreboard at Clemson on Saturday?
I did. We do not have this one, but they did put a I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Big old picture of Uncle Shane.
Yeah, a picture of Shane Beamer. Indeed they did. All right. So
this one is from Ole Miss, and they're not happy. Ole Miss got in bed with a snake and they got bit. Lane is a documented scumbag from Big Money Grip. It's not about the money. He would leave anywhere for a dollar more. It's inconceivable we are allowing LSU head coach to coach us in the biggest game ever. His departure will affect the seating, the committee will drop us, and maybe totally out. The guy is a scumbag, pure and simple. Ben said it best. Get in bed with a snake, you get bit. We asked for this.
I think
we also asked for Grammarly and maybe to clean that up. That is hard.
We can just put a Grammarly extension on this guy's Chrome browser. Look, the one here that is interesting to me. Oh, hey, there's Maggie. I didn't see you earlier. I'm so sorry.
Is she mad at me?
She is a little upset. She says she hates us.
Ooh. Happy Thanksgiving.
She hates us both.
We are not invited for Thanksgiving. Friendsgiving.
Yikes. I'm not sure what she hates us both for. What did we say? It's something about the Thanksgiving food.
The truth.
Oh, it's the green bean casserole. I found it. She doesn't like the green bean casserole. All right. Look, the only thing good in that board that you just read is that that the committee may actually drop them out. I'm starting to buy into that more and more as we go. Okay.
Yep. All right. So this was one thought. Here's another thought from another Ole Miss board. Nope. Same one, Rob. Fire the producer already.
Yeah, I don't have it. Let's go. While Maggie's here, let's go to the Tiger boards.
All right. Oh, great. Now Mizzou is stuck with Eli Drinkowitz from tigerboard.com. Nobody is going to hire Drink. He failed the interview. He needed this today to show he can coach, and he's just showing everyone he can't. We're already paying him more than he's worth. Stomp, stomp, stomp. That's him stomping.
This is the quintessential mad SEC fan right here.
Yeah.
Stop. This is every – yeah, exactly. Like, you do not want to lose your coach if you're Missouri.
Yeah.
I think that Drink is high on a lot of boards, and Missouri will be – I'm going to give it a 50-50 shot right now that they're going to keep him.
Auburn and Florida have been quiet. Drink has been quiet here. I do think there's still a pretty good chance of that happening. But I just I don't know. But like here's the other thing. Gary Pinkel did an excellent job at Mizzou, probably punched up more than anybody else. Barry Odom could not get past 6 wins. Now Drink has them at 9 and 10 wins. Missouri should be like a 5 or 6 win team. They're a tough fit right now in the SEC. They're not necessarily in a recruiting bastion. And it's not me being mean to Maggie. It's not me being mean to Missouri. It is a hard job. Look no further than what's going on at Arkansas. And the fact that Drink has them consistently in the top 25, consistently in that 8, 9, 10 win span, shows he's a good coach. He's punching above his weight. So that is a really sour take from our Mizzou friends. And that's me defending Mizzou, by the way.
Yep, absolutely. All right, look, this is SEC Sunday Night live on the Chief Sports Network. You got 90 minutes with us tonight. We're proudly presented by Hewitt Domodurus Law, HDLawSC.com. I'm Rob Williams. He's Craig McMichael. And I'll give you this one as we get out of here. The Texas A&M Police, the gift that keeps on giving. Public intoxication, section 128, intoxicated subject found staring at a wall, released to sober girlfriend, and ejected. And on that note, we're going to eject ourselves. We'll see you. Have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you after the rivalries have all been played. Enjoy that turkey sandwich at the Moist Maker on Friday for a full slate. See you next week.
Gobble, gobble.